ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 17 एंटाइटल द डिविजन्स ऑफ फेथ टेक्स्ट नंबर 24। तस्मादो मित्युदारित्य यज्ञदान तपः क्रियाः प्रवर्तन्ते विधानोक्ताः सततं ब्रह्मवादिनाम्। Translation: Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performance of sacrifice, charity and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Purport: Om Tad Vishnoho Paramam Padam, Rigveda 1.22.20. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity. Om Jnandimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So the verse is stating the importance of the syllable Omkar. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, he is instructing here to Arjun about how to engage in activities that will satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the 17th chapter, we have seen that Lord Krishna, he described how all of our different phases of our life, like how all types of worship, all types of work, all types of food and all types of charity, etc., how they are divided into three divisions according to the three modes of material nature, which are goodness, passion, ignorance, sattva-gun, raja-gun, tamagun. So all our lifestyle is divided according to sattva-gun, raja-gun, tamagun, goodness, passion and ignorance in all categories of life. So, but as Srila Prabhupada says in this, the previous verse, text number 23 of the 17th chapter in the purport, but whether first class, second class or third class, they are all conditioned. Means all our activities, all our worship, sacrifices or charity or food, they are all conditioned, contaminated by the material modes of nature. When they are aimed at the Supreme, Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. So Lord Krishna, by introducing this Om Tat Sat, these three words, he is indicating here, in the previous verse he said that these three words, Om Tat Sat, were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. And they were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. This is very important, for the satisfaction of the Supreme. And here also Lord Krishna is saying, in the translation we can see that the transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity and penance, yajna, dana, tapaha, these three activities, in accordance with scriptural regulations, they begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. This is the goal. This is the final destination, to attain the Supreme. So, only when the things of this world are directed towards Lord Krishna, towards the Supreme Absolute Truth, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, in devotional service for His satisfaction, only then can one be spiritually elevated. Otherwise, one will remain bound up in this material existence. As Lord Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, text number 9, Yagyarthat karmano anyatra lokayam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. That work done as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu has to be performed. Work should be done for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, for his pleasure. Otherwise, any other work, tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. If work is done for his sacrifice, then one is liberated from this material bondage, from this ignorance, passion and goodness, this material entanglement. But if one does not act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, then one is bound up in this material existence. So this is what Lord Krishna is telling, that Om Tat Sat, these words are used to attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one can only attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead by unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvatah. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is only by unmotivated devotional service can one understand Krishna as he is. So, in this current verse, text number 24 which we are reading, Lord Krishna is not at all talking about the karmakanda ritualistic ceremonies, which people might think that what maybe Krishna is referring to that, because he is referring yagya dan tapa. So we may see many ritualistic Brahmins, they engage in performing yagya, sacrifices, this yagya, that yagya, dan, many people give charity, and tapa, many people perform tapasya also. But as indicated in the 17th chapter, they are in the three modes of material nature if they are not performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna in this verse is not indicating them. He is indicating that sacrifices, charity and austerities or penances, they have to be done for the satisfaction of the Supreme, and that is done by uttering these three words, Om Tat Sat. So today we are reading the importance of Omkar. So, yes, here the significance of Omkar is mentioned, and Srila Prabhupada says in the previous verse, text 23 purport, in the Vedic hymns the word Om is always found, he says. All the Vedic literatures are filled with the sound vibration Omkar, and this Omkar is used to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like, O Lord, O Great, O Eternal, like that. That is the form of address in Sanskrit language toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya, Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya, just a minute, I forgot the verse. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo Pranava Sarva Vedeshu Shabdakhe Paurusham Drishu. In this verse he says that Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, I am the Pranava Omkar, as mentioned in the Vedic literatures. So this Om is not different from Lord Krishna. Omkar and Krishna are not different. They are same Supreme Transcendental Brahman. So in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is telling to Arjun that in the 13th verse he says, Om ityekaksharam brahma, Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaran yah prayati dyajan deha sayati paramam gatim. He says, after being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. Prabhupada's purport is very significant, I would like to read. It is clearly stated here that Om, Brahman and Lord Krishna are not different. The impersonal sound of Krishna is Om, but the sound Hare Krishna contains Om. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is clearly recommended for this age. So if one quits his body at the end of life, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, he certainly reaches one of the spiritual planets according to the mode of his practice. Devotees of Krishna enter the Krishna planet Golok Vrindavan. For the personalists, there are also innumerable other planets known as Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, whereas the impersonalists remain in the Brahma Jyoti. So, the impersonalists, they chant this transcendental Omkar because they are afraid of the personality of Godhead. They don't want to deal with the person, the Supreme Brahman. These are not my words. Srila Prabhupada himself says in the 7th chapter. Yes. Pranava or the Omkar transcendental sound in the beginning of every Vedic hymn addresses the Supreme Lord. Because the impersonalists are very much afraid of addressing the Supreme Lord Krishna by his innumerable names, they prefer to vibrate the transcendental sound Omkar. But they do not realize that Omkar is the sound representation of Krishna. As Krishna himself says, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, I am Omkar. So, let us try to understand how Omkar is actually not different from the Supreme Lord, but how the personal names of Krishna, like Krishna, Ram, Madhava, Govinda, Gopal, how these names are much more intimate and much more rewarding to the performer of the chanting of these names. So, as we discussed that Omkar, Om, is actually addressed to the Supreme Lord. O Lord. So, suppose if one addresses a person in this world like, O Mr., O Sir, O Gentleman, like that. But if one addresses a person by his own personal name, like, what is your name? Sandeep. Sandeep ji, can you do this for me? Or, O Naresh ji, or something, O Paresh, O Tushar, can you do something? So, when we address a person directly, there is a feeling of intimacy, of a relationship that one has with a person in this world. And if one just says that, O Mr., O Sir, that is a general term, this is a term of respect and honor, no doubt. But when one addresses a person directly by his own personal name, that evokes a greater emotion, greater affection from a person's heart, that he is calling me personally. So similarly, if one calls the Supreme Lord by Om, that is like addressing O Lord, O Supreme. But if one addresses Lord by his personal names, like Krishna, Rama, Mukunda, Govinda, Gopal, Madhava, Madhusudana, Keshava, so all these names, they are personal names of the Supreme Lord. And when one addresses the Supreme Lord by these personal names, that is much more powerful and much more effective than the chanting of Omkar. That we can understand by this example. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a person and he has a personal name. So, when one addresses him personally, he reciprocates personally also. Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam satayo bhajamyam. Krishna says, as one approaches me, I reward him accordingly. So if we approach Krishna as the Supreme Person, as the all-attractive Krishna, as the reservoir of pleasure, Ram, as the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, Madhav, as the Lord of the Gopis, Gopinath. So if we approach Krishna as the Supreme Person, with his supreme qualities, then Krishna also reciprocates with us personally. He takes personal care of his devotees. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshemam Mahamiyaham Ananyas Chintayantamam Yejana Paripasate Tesham Nityabhyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Mahamiyaham. One who is always engaged in thinking of the Supreme Lord in his innumerable forms like Krishna or Ram or Narasimha Dev, always rendering intimate devotional service, Lord Krishna, he personally reciprocates. He maintains what the devotee has and he provides what he lacks, he carries what he lacks. So, This is the importance of the chanting of the personal holy names of Lord Krishna. So, as one addresses a person like Sandeep or Naresh, that also contains O Mr. or O Sir. That does not mean that O Sir or Mr. is separate and Sandeep is separate. You are addressing the same person. So, similarly, Om is included in the name of Krishna. Om is included in the name of Ram, of the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is what the Vedic scriptures are saying. So, as stated in this verse, the transcendentalists, they perform sacrifice, charity and penances to attain the Supreme. Let us see one example which is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that how if one tries to satisfy Lord Krishna and takes the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, how by performing any type of activity one attains success in that particular field, while if one does not perform that activity for the satisfaction of Krishna, not taking his shelter, then one is failed in the ultimate purpose. So in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this beautiful pastime is mentioned, that how the demigods, they were defeated by the demons, by the Rakshasas, the Danavas, the head of the demons being Bali Maharaj. So King Indra, the head, the leader of all the Devatas, the demigods, he with all the demigods, they approached the supreme creator of this universe, Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma in turn took them to his own father, Lord Vishnu, who resides in the milk ocean. And then they prayed to Lord Vishnu for protection. And then Lord Vishnu told them, you engage with the demons in the churning of the milk ocean, and by this churning you will obtain amrit, nectar. And by drinking this amrit, you will regain your opulences and your power and your kingdom by defeating the demons. So, that is what happens. Both the demigods and the demons, they engage in the churning of the milk ocean. Both are engaged in the same activity at the same place, the ocean of milk, with the same energy, with the same purpose. They want nectar. They both want nectar. So, the place is the same, the time is the same, the purpose is the same, the activity is the same, and the ambition is also the same, to enjoy the opulences of the heavenly planets. So, they were the same for both the demigods and the demons. But, the demigods achieved one result and the demons achieved another. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 8th canto, 9th chapter, text number 28. Both, all these things were same, but demigods achieved nectar, demons were completely bewildered by Mohini Murti, and they were deprived of the nectar by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So, because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, were unable to achieve the result they desired. This is the difference. If one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, one achieves success in this endeavor. But if one derives the Supreme Lord, does not take his shelter, anything he does, anything one does, ultimately it is baffled. Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vichetasaha. His desires, they are baffled, his activities are baffled, and his knowledge is baffled. In the next verse, it is said, yes, in human society there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, one's mind and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. We have our wealth, we have our life, we have our family, our relatives, and we try to protect them, we try to maintain them with our words. with our body and with our words, with our actions, which are with our body and with our mind. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification. I want to take care of my body, my family members, my relatives, my wealth, my bank balance, my car, my home, my village, my community, my people. But they are in reference to one's own body. It is for one's personal sense gratification or extended sense gratification. In connection with me, whoever are they, I want to help them. Why? Because they are related with me. Ultimately, center is I. Although it is extended circle, center is I. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So, all these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone, just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. All these activities of maintaining one's body or one's family or one's wealth or anything connected to oneself, when these activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, for Lord Krishna, then the results, they are distributed to everyone. Just like if one pours water on the root of a tree, then all the parts of a tree, the branches, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, everything is nourished. So, how should one perform activities of this world? One should perform them for the satisfaction of the Lord. One should not consider that anything is my in this world. This is the very important point one should understand. Everything in this world is the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the proprietor of everything. And whatever we have is actually given by Him as our quota. So, we are just like the caretakers in possession of a particular object for a certain period of time. Nothing is ours in this world. The family members, they are given to us according to the arrangement of the Supreme Lord through the laws of karma. So, everything is arranged by the Supreme Lord. Nothing is mine. Everything is Krishna's. So, the family members, they are Krishna's children. One should try to maintain them considering that they are Krishna's family. One should try to protect his wealth for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, that he will use this wealth for his service. So one should be completely non-possessive of anything in the world, and one should completely surrender to the Supreme Lord. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the favorite bhajan, Manaso deho geho jo kishu mor, arpilu tuva pade nand kishor. My mind, my body, my home, and whatever I have in my possession, O Lord, I offer everything unto you, O Nanda Kishore, O son of Nanda Maharaj. Everything is actually the property of the Supreme Lord. And everything should be utilized for His satisfaction, for His service. And if one acts in this way, one will not be bound up by the reactions of this world. That is stated by Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. So, regarding the importance of Om, I would just like to narrate a particular episode from the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Varanasi discussing the Vedic philosophy with one of the great leading sannyasis of that time, Prakashananda Saraswati, with his thousands of disciples who had come. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Lord Krishna himself, who had come more than 500 years ago in the district of Nadia in West Bengal for propagating the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, as the only means of perfection in this age of Kali for attaining the supreme wealth of life, pure love, ecstatic love of Godhead, Krishna Prem. So when Lord Chaitanya, who had taken sannyas when he was in Varanasi during his travels, at that time, the scene was, this is narrated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, Adi Leela chapter 7. So one of the devotees in whose home Lord Chaitanya was saying he was staying, he was Chandrasekhar, and one of his other devotees, Tapan Mishra, also comes there, and they both tell Lord Chaitanya, "How long can we tolerate the blasphemy of our critics against your conduct? We should give up our lives rather than hear such blasphemy." They could not bear that the sannyasis over there, they were blaspheming the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya was engaged in preaching the chanting of the holy names of Krishna and dancing and chanting in public. The Mayavadis, they have a conception that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Nirgun and Nirakar, Nirvishesh. So they could not understand the ecstasy of devotional service unto the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Param Brahman, Param Satya, Lord Krishna. So it is said here, what happened that at that same time one Brahman came to the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya and he invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home where all these sannyasis had gathered from the Mayavad Sampradaya. So, upon requesting Lord Chaitanya very much, Lord Chaitanya agreed, okay. And then, at that place of the house of this Brahman, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrit, Sabha namaskari gela pada prakshalane, pada prakshalana kore vasila saisthane. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the sannyasis, he immediately offered obeisances. And then he went to wash his feet. After washing his feet, he sat down by the place where he had done so. Lord Chaitanya, when entering that place, he washed his feet, where all the people used to wash, and then he sat down at that foot washing place. And then, Bosiya korila kichu aishwarya prakash mahatejo maya vapo koti surya bhas. After sitting on the ground, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mystic power by manifesting an effulgence as brilliant as the illumination of millions of suns. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the source of the Brahma Jyoti that illuminates the spiritual world, that Brahma Jyoti, Lord Chaitanya manifested at that place, which is like millions of suns. So the Mayavadis, they are generally attracted by this effulgence, by this Brahma Jyoti. So the leader, the guru of all the sannyasis, Prakashanand Saraswati, he was attracted. Prabhave akarshila sab sannyasi raman, Uthila sannyasi sab chhadiya asan. When the sannyasis saw the brilliant illumination of the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their minds were attracted and they all immediately gave up their sitting places and stood in respect. This attracted their minds, the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya. The Lord knows how to attract each and every soul in this world. Prakashananda name sarva sannyasi pradhan, Prabhu ke kohila kichu kuriya samman. The leader of all the Mayavadis present was named Prakashananda Saraswati, and after standing up he addressed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows with great respect. Prakashananda Saraswati said, Please come here, Your Holiness. Why do you sit in that unclean place? What has caused your lamentation? The Lord replied, Prabhu kohe ami hoi hina sampradaya, toma sabar sabhaye vasite na vyuyaye. Lord replied, I belong to a lower order of sannyasis, therefore I do not deserve to sit with you. This is the humility of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that He is saying that I am low and you are high. You are exalted and I am very fallen. Prakashananda Saraswati, however, he caught Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally by the hand and seated him with great respect in the midst of the assembly. So, This was the act of Prakashananda Saraswati, which actually opened the doors of bhakti for him. This act of devotional service, of serving the Lord, picking him up by the hand and bringing him to the elevated position of all the sannyasis, this act actually began his devotional service. Prakashananda Saraswati then said, "I understand that your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You are a disciple of Sri Keshav Bharati and therefore you are glorious." So he was saying that you are also a sannyasi from the Mayavad Sampradaya, from the Bharati school. So why are you engaged in chanting the holy names, chanting the names of Krishna and Ram and dancing madly? So Prakashananda Saraswati is saying, you are a sannyasi. Why then do you indulge in chanting and dancing, engaging in your Sankirtan movement in the company of fanatics? This is their opinion, that anyone who engages in chanting and dancing, they are fanatics. So they say, meditation and study of Vedanta are the sole duties of a sannyasi. Why do you abandon these to dance with fanatics? So, he further continued, you look as brilliant as if you are Narayan himself. Will you kindly explain the reason that you have adopted the behavior of lower class people? This is their conclusion, that one who engages in chanting and dancing, they are lower class. And one who engages in meditating, chanting Om and studying the scriptures and interpreting them according to their own opinions, they are very elevated. Then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he said, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool and therefore he chastised me. Prabhu kohe shuna shripad ihara karan guru more murkha dekhi korila shasan. Guru more murkha dekhi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying that my spiritual master considered that I am a fool. Indirectly, Lord Chaitanya is saying that everyone in this Kali Yuga is actually a fool. Kalau shudra sambhava. No one in this age has the intelligence to study the Vedic scriptures. No one has the ability to perform austerities and fast and perform meditation and dhyan. Everyone is completely bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord and has no understanding whatsoever of any spiritual truth. So, then further Lord continues, मूर्ख तुम्ही तो मरना ही कव वेदांताधिकार कृष्ण मंत्र जप सदा ए मंत्र सार. कृष्ण मंत्र जप सदा ए मंत्र सार. यू आर अ फूल, ही सेड, यू आर नॉट क्वालिफाइड टू स्टडी वेदांत फिलोसॉफी एंड देयरफॉर यू मस्ट ऑलवेज चैंट द होली नेम ऑफ कृष्ण. दिस इज द एसेंस ऑफ ऑल मंत्रस और वेदिक हिम्स. So, in further verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Krishna mantra hoite habe samsara mochan, Krishna nama hoite pabe krishnera charan. Krishna's lotus feet can be achieved only by chanting the holy names of Krishna in this age of Kali Yuga. Whereas by chanting Om and meditating on the impersonal Brahman, one achieves only the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And when one is elevated to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, which is very 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 rare phenomena, especially in this Kali Yuga, even from that liberated position of existence, without any miseries of this material world, in the Brahma Jyoti, which is transcendental and eternal, even after elevating oneself to that position by severe performances of Vedic study and observing strict rules and regulations, controlling one's senses and concentrating on Omkar, even after that, it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the demigods, आरुह्य कृच्छ्रेण परम पदम ततः पतंति अधो नादृत युष्मदंग्रय. And he said that, Yenyarvindaksha vimuktamanina stoyast bhava vishuddha buddhaya. Those who think themselves to be liberated are actually, their intelligence is actually contaminated, because even after elevating themselves to this position of Brahman, of liberation, parampadam, which is the transcendental position, patanti adha, they again fall down. Patanti, fall. Other, down. Where down? To this material world. Why? Why do they fall down from this transcendental position? Anadrita yushmadangraya. O Arvind Aksha, O lotus-eyed Lord, O Supreme Person, who have the Supreme Transcendental Form, because they have not developed affection for your lotus feet, for your devotional service, because they have not served your lotus feet in affection and love, they fall down to this world of material existence again. But if one chants the holy name of Krishna, Krishna mantra hoive hoite habe samsara mochan, samsara mochan, freedom from the samsara, from the material existence automatically takes place. That is there. That is a byproduct. Liberation is but a byproduct of pure devotional service. Just as it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, the analogy is explained that just as the sun in the sky, when it rises, when it displays its full power, the fog, niharam eva bhaskara. Actually, not even when the sun fully displays its power, when the sun is actually about to rise, not even fully manifested, the fog which is there in the atmosphere, that is dissipated. That disappears, that vanishes just before the sun is about to rise. Similarly, if one renders pure devotional service, kevalaya bhaktya, by unalloyed devotional service, unmixed devotional service, only for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, if one engages in bhakti, then this liberation is automatically achieved. This mukti is automatically achieved, just like the fog is dissipated by the sun. Niharameva bhaskara. This is the byproduct. The main product, however, the main benediction, the main blessing of chanting the holy names is Krishna naam hoite paabe krishner charan. That lotus feet of Lord Krishna, which are even sought after by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Lakshmi Devi, the great sages, they are always meditating, the great demigods, they are always worshipping, praying to get the mercy of the Lord. Just by chanting the holy name of Krishna according to the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by His mercy, can one obtain the lotus feet of Krishna, the supreme destination. Lotus feet of Krishna one obtains means what? One obtains service, devotional service to the lotus feet of Krishna in ecstatic love. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues. Nama veno kali kale nahi ara dharma sarva mantra sara nama e shastra marma. Nama veno kali kale nahi ara dharma. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than chanting of the holy name. Sarva mantra sar nama e shastra marma. This chanting of the holy name, this is the essence of all the Vedic hymns, and this is the purport of all scriptures. Shastra marma. Eto boli eka shloka shikhaila more kante kari e shloka kari havichare. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep it within my throat. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyatha. For spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative to the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Three times it is repeated, there is no alternative. And three times repeated, only the holy name of the Lord. This is the importance of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had been bewildered. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is experiencing various symptoms of devotional ecstasy, like tears coming from eyes, voice faltering, hair standing on end, body shivering. All these symptoms are from the spiritual platform. They are not of this material world. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached his Guru Maharaj and asked him, Kiba mantra dila gosai kiba tara bala japite japite mantra korilo pagala. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha mantra. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. Krishna nama maha mantra eito svabhav jai japetara krishna upajaya bhav. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna maha mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. This is the power of the holy name, that just by chanting the holy name one immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. So holy name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. Abhinnatvat nama naminaha. Holy name of Krishna is descending from the spiritual world. Nama chintamani Krishna chaitanya rasa vigraha. It is full of devotional ras. Purna, shuddha, nitya mukta. It is complete and perfect. Always eternally pure. Eternally liberated. The same as Krishna. Krishna and his name are not different. They are the same person. Holy name is not just a sound vibration of the it is actually the sound vibration of the spiritual world. Golokera premadhana hari nama sankirtan. The chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of the names of Hari, they are Golokera premadhana. They are the treasure of Goloka, the spiritual world, the abode of Lord Krishna. So then Ishwarpuri, his Guru Maharaj, said, I will read the shloka. Krishna Vishayaka Prema Parama Purushartha Jara Age Trinatulya Chari Purushartha. Dharma Artha Kam Moksha, they are called four Purushartha. Four Purusharthas that one aspires in his religious practice normally according to the Vedic process. But religiosity, dharma, economic development, artha, sense gratification, kama and liberation, moksha, are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and the highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. What the great brahmanas, the great rishis perform sacrifices and tapasya, this religiosity is actually straw in the street as compared to the highest goal, which is pure love of Godhead, Prem, Krishna Prem, which is available by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Panchama Purushartha Prema Nandamrata Sindhu Mokshadi Ananda Jaranahe Eka Bindu. For a devotee who has actually developed bhav, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, kama and moksha appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. The drop is completely insignificant and practically non-existential in the presence of the sea. The ananda, mokshadi ananda, ananda from moksha and other things, they are just like drop in front of the bhakti rasamrit sindhu, the pure nectar of devotional service, which is just like the sea. Krishna namera phala prema sarva shastra. Krishna namera phala prema shastra sarva koi bhagya se prema to mai korila udai. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Bharat Maharaj was so much absorbed in the ecstasy of devotional service of Lord Krishna, of personal service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, that what to speak of his attachment to his family, his wife, his children, his kingdom of the whole world and wealth of the entire world. Even apunar bhavam means freedom from birth and death. Freedom from the cycle of birth and death in this world. Which means that liberation, mukti, moksha. That was insignificant in front of Bharat Maharaj, who was absorbed in the pure devotional service of the Lord. Apunar bhavam, that liberation was phalgu. Phalgu means tuch, insignificant, completely irrelevant. This is the power of the holy names. When one chants the holy names of Krishna, one can revive his love of Godhead. So, it is said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues, Premara swabhave bhakta hase kande gaya unmatta hoiya nache iti uti dhaya. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants and sometimes runs here and there, just like a madman. So, these are the symptoms of pure ecstatic love of Godhead, which cannot be imitated by any ordinary layman of this world. The test of one who has elevated to the platform of pure love of Godhead is that he is completely detached from anything in this material world. So those who claim to be having these symptoms like crying and hair standing on end, body shivering, those persons who may be attached to smoking bidis, association with women, attached to eating nice delicious food. So these people who are attached to things of this world, when they claim to have displaying such symptoms, they are completely cheating the people of this world and cheating themselves of the wealth of love of Godhead, which cannot be achieved cheaply, but it can be achieved only by complete surrender at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is possible only by surrendering at the lotus feet of the representative of the Supreme Lord, which is the spiritual master. So, the word Om is the transcendental vibration as mentioned in the Vedic scriptures and is not different from Lord Krishna. And when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one automatically achieves the benefits of chanting Omkar, and also one achieves completely the thing which is completely impossible to achieve just by the meditation on impersonal Brahman and chanting Om. This can be achieved by chanting the holy names of Krishna, which is the topmost benediction, the topmost goal of life which one can have, the perfection of life, and that is possible only by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as advised by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. So, I just read this passage from Chaitanya Charitamrit just to inspire ourselves that Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he is the most merciful. Lord is most merciful at all times, but on these days of appearance days of the Supreme Lord, particularly the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is of utmost importance. Its importance cannot be overstressed. So we kindly invite all the devotees to participate in this festival, which is on the 28th of February, which is the Sunday. It is a holiday. So all the people, all the devotees with their relatives and friends can come and take part in glorifying the Supreme Lord and thus achieve His supreme mercy, by which one can experience pure love of Godhead by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, I would end here. Thank you for patient hearing. Are there any questions? If anyone has questions, they can ask, raise their hands and ask questions.
Ecstatic feelings are coming, but every day in our this thing chanting session, we are just struggling to concentrate on the holy name. So, like, how can we improve our own situation to some extent?
That is a fact. Chanting the holy name produces ecstatic love of Godhead, but because of offenses, one does not experience these emotions. Is love. It is said in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that heart is certainly steel framed. Steel framed means rigid, like we can say completely stone hearted person. So which heart is steel framed? That which does not melt by chanting the holy names of Krishna. That which does not melt by chanting the holy names of Krishna. So we have to understand. So Prabhupada explains in that purport that this steel-framed heart is because of offenses committed. There are various aparadhas. There are 10 main aparadhas to the holy name, Nam aparadha, which one should avoid. The first, for devotees, the offenses mainly, for practicing serious devotees, the offenses are mainly, I think, I said by different devotees I heard, the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who dedicated their life for propagating the holy names. That is the offense. Blaspheme means that can happen verbally also, that is the grossest type. But even mentally, it affects our heart. Our heart becomes hard. That steel frame becomes stronger by that mental offense. And also by disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. When does one disobey the spiritual master? When one considers him as an ordinary person. Gurushu Narmati. When one considers that he is an ordinary human being, if one considers like that, one is bound to disobey, not follow properly. That is an offense. And also to consider that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are imagination. The fifth offense. The glory is mentioned like just by chanting the holy names one experiences pure love of Krishna, shivering, tears coming from eyes. One achieves the spiritual world just by using his tongue and ears and chanting the holy names. One may think it's exaggeration. Like that person thought, Haridas Thakur was saying, holy name can give pure love of Godhead, mukti is just a byproduct. That person did not believe this exaggeration. He was committing offense. And also the tenth one, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments. So these offenses are there, and by serious practice of devotional service, one actually cleanses his heart of all the anarthas, which are the cause of offenses. Offenses happen because if you study all the offenses, you will find that all the 10 offenses against the holy name, basically they are imposition of material conception on the transcendental sound vibration, on the transcendental things or people. When one thinks spiritual master, ordinary person, that is material conception. When one thinks that the holy name is glories are imagination, that is material conception. When one commits sinful activities on strength of the holy names, that is material conception. So these anarthas, they prevent us from tasting the holy names. And by chanting the holy names only, we will get purified. And by slowly, slowly being purified, by following under the orders of the spiritual master very faithfully, it is said, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, which Vidhulna Sanatana Maharaj also stresses. Serious, sincere and without ulterior motives is very, very important. And it's very difficult also, me personally speaking, to become serious in devotional service, sincere and without ulterior motives. Without ulterior motives means what? It is very difficult. Ulterior motives means any other motive except satisfying Krishna. If we try to search our heart, particularly in my case, there is no ulterior, there is nothing like no ulterior motives in my heart. Like, there are many other motives, like I want to have a healthy body, I want to have nice respect, I want to achieve respect from devotees, I want to achieve fame, name, I want to learn so many shlokas, I want to impress the devotees, I want to be a big person, like that. So these are all steel frame in the heart. So by slowly, slowly becoming serious, sincere and without ulterior motives, that is the test. That is the, if one actually is without ulterior motives, then he is a pure devotee. Pure devotee means what? He just desire to serve Lord Krishna unconditionally. Unconditionally. If one is said, jump in this river, jump in this ocean, if one will do, to please the Supreme Lord, then that is unconditional. That's like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a disciple. Although he was grihastha, householder, Dr. Sanyal, I forget his initiated name. They were once on a mountain climbing upstairs and their car got stuck in between. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and this Dr. Sanyal, his disciple, was there. And Dr. Sanyal, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he just said, I forget the actual pastime, but Dr. Sanyal said that even if you tell me to jump from here, I will do that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur tested him, will you jump from here? He said that yes, and he was ready to do it. That is the unconditional surrender of the disciple toward the spiritual master, which is the goal of life, which is the aspired goal of a devotee's life. That should be the goal. The goal should not be that I want to become comfortable, I want to be happy, I want to be achieving respect or distinction or honor. Goal should be just to serve Krishna. And that, if one is not serious or sincere, that will take a long, long time. But if one is determined and complete day by day, that is should be the practice. Day by day, one should completely engage oneself with one's mind, body and words in this particular direction. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare, bhavatat bhaktir ahetuki tvai. I don't want dhanam, wealth, I don't want followers, don't want wealth, I don't want beautiful women, I don't want any respect, kavitam. I don't want even liberation, birth after birth after birth that I may take. I just want your unmotivated devotional service, causeless devotional service. Ahaituki bhakti. Janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahaituki tvai. So, that should be the goal. And if that is the goal and if one is determined, by the mercy of the devotees, when one serves the devotees with that particular intention, then one will experience Krishna prem. Sorry, you are asking the wrong person. I don't have any realization about pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.